It's now time for our weekly Fool Radio game, and feeling inspired by the fun and games at Dave & Buster's, we're unveiling a new game this week. It's the Motley Fool Dynamic Duo Challenge. Here's how the game works. We'll present three questions to our contestant, all relating to famous business partnerships. Guess the correct answer, take home a full ball cap. Guess wrong, at least you'll take home a bit more knowledge about the business world. Our player this week is Laura from Dallas. Laura, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you very much.
Laura, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of dynamic duos?
Batman and Robin.
I think that's probably true of most people. Did you see some of those movies, by the way?
Yes.
Did you keep going to each one that increasingly got worse after the previous one?
No.
Okay. And I think that's also true of most people. And if you're like most people, Laura, you'll win at least one full ball cap on this show. We're all rooting for you. Let's start off with question number one, which I will entitle Brothers in Arms. Laura, one of the following three statements about gun maker Smith & Wesson is false. The other two are true. I want you to pick the false statement. Is it A, a steel patent that Smith & Wesson pioneered was instrumental in the development of Teflon used in nonstick cookware? Or B, is the false statement that Smith & Wesson had to sell its company at one point to a shirt manufacturer named Oliver Winchester? Or finally, is it C, the gun used in the classic Clint Eastwood film Dirty Harry was a Smith & Wesson Model 29? Laura, which of those three statements about Smith & Wesson is false?
C.
I assume you were guessing, which I would have been too.
I was guessing, absolutely. No, nothing about guns.
Turns out A was the false statement. Smith & Wesson did, in fact, sell its company to Winchester at one point, but later partnered up again in 1856 to continue in the firearms trade. And Clint Eastwood did use a Smith & Wesson in the Dirty Harry films. We have no knowledge of Smith & Wesson's contributions to the development of Teflon. Laura, are you a fan of Dirty Harry, or do you appreciate a more sensitive man?
I kind of like Dirty Harry.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you would say you most like about Dirty Harry?
He's definitive.
Excellent. Let's hope that you are on question number two, which I'm going to call When Ben Met Jerry. Laura, how did ice cream pioneers Ben and Jerry first meet? Did they A, meet while working at the Sara Lee Company? B, meet at Woodstock in 1969? C, meet in seventh grade gym class? Or finally, D, did they meet at a Vermont dairy convention?
Golly, these are hard questions. They're all, I have to guess it at each of them.
Take your best
I'm
guess.
I'm going to say Sara Lee. Not doing well.
You know, you're making a good effort, and really it's the same effort that I would have made. It turns out the correct answer is C. They did, in fact, meet in a seventh grade gym class. The year was 1963. They opened their first shop in Burlington, Vermont in 1978, 15 years later. And the rest, of course, is ice cream history. Laura, are you a Ben & Jerry's fan?
Yes, of course.
How about one flavor that you'd still like to see that company introduce, and I can wait?
Oreo cookie.
Coffee Oreo cookie. That sounds good to me. I'm surprised they haven't already launched it, but you're right. Now that I think about it, they've done mint Oreo cookie. They've done coffee Heath Bar Crunch. I see where you're going with this.
The sweet and the tangy from the coffee would be good together.
I agree with you. I actually last summer went to the Ben & Jerry's factory there in Vermont, not far from Stowe, Vermont, and they have a wonderful graveyard with all of their buried dead flavors, ones that didn't work out. And they have a little gravestone for each one with the years that it was out there. And then they have a little witty poem on the gravestone talking, usually making a self-effacing joke about what were they thinking. But
cute.
Yeah, cute all the way. Final question for you, Laura. Your last chance to walk away a winner on the show, although you're a winner for just trying with these questions. We're going to call this one Partners in Grime.
Oh, my gosh.
Cleaning and household product giant Procter & Gamble, Laura, is responsible for many of the cleaning products that we use in our homes. Which of the following is not a Procter & Gamble product? Is it A, Mr. Clean Multipurpose Cleaner, B, Downy Fabric Softener, C, Irish Spring Soap, or D, the Swiffer Duster?
The Swiffer.
Now, hold on, Laura. Have you ever actually used a Swiffer duster?
Yes.
You didn't notice the P&G branding, the P&G label?
No, sorry.
Well, I can tell you that I think there is a P&G on the Swiffer duster.
Well, then I guess I don't pay much attention to those sorts of things.
I understand that. Did you want to guess again, though?
Shall I guess again? Okay, what were the other choices?
Mr. Clean, Downy, mm-hmm. or Irish Spring Soap?
Irish Spring Soap.
Oh, my God.
An outstanding guess. Yes, indeed. Irish Spring Soap is not a Procter & Gamble product.
I picked up on that, clue.
The rest are. Procter & Gamble has been around since 1837. Speaking of old companies, takes its name from James Gamble and William Procter. A bit of trivia for you, Laura, about this winning company for you. It supplied soap and candles to the Union armies during the Civil War.
Wow. My husband would be interested to know that.
Would you characterize yourself as a clean person?
Yes, especially since the maid comes twice a week.
Well, now you have a full ball cap that can be worn around the house. Laura, thank you very much for playing.
You're quite welcome. It was fun.
And that wraps up our game for this week. You can hear this game, this show, or any past Motley Fool radio show by logging on to fool.npr.org. And to sign up for our free weekly radio email, hop on to fool.com, scroll down to the free weekly newsletters section, and click on Fool Radio Weekly.